is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Kimmel, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Kimmel Amud Aleph at the new Perek. As the Ran says in introducing this Perek, we began the Masechta discussing all the different types of situations, of different types of cases, and the amount of Dayonim required for different Dinei Torah in the first Perek. In the second parak, we went on to discuss how different din Torahs are conducted, the din Torah of a Kohen Gadol, and therefore we started speaking about the halachas of a Kohen Gadol, the din Torah of a Melech, and we therefore spoke various halachas about a Melech. Our Gemara, our Masechta, our parak now returns back to the beginning to discuss how Dinei Torah are conducted. And the parak begins with the words, Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. A din Torah involving a monetary case requires three Dayonim. What type of din Torah, Dinei Mamonos, are we speaking about? Certainly, it's understood that we're speaking about a situation of Hoidos V'Havos that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Those din Torahs are conducted by a bezdin of three. But there were other different types of Dinei Torah that involved monetary situations, such as Gezeilus v'Chavolus. And if our Mishnah is referring to those types of Dinei Torah also, will actually depend on the different Pshatim that we're going to learn how to understand our Mishnah. In fact, as we learn today's shir and tomorrow's shir, we're going to find four different reasons, four different approaches on how to understand our Mishnah. And based on the different approaches, we will be able to understand what type of Din Torah our Mishnah is referring to. And our Mishnah begins with the words Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha, which of course is a difficult statement. We already learned at the beginning of the Perek, at the beginning of the Masechta, the Dinei Mamonos are conducted with the three Dayonim, and therefore the question is, what do we have to repeat that halacha? The simple teretz is, as we said at the beginning of our shir, since we are now going to, so to speak, go back to the beginning, going back to review what we learned from the beginning of the Masechta, that's why our Mishnah speaks about Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. Our Perek begins again with Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. Another pshat that I saw from the Bach is that since we're going to now learn that a din Torah is conducted with a zabla, zebayir layechad v'zebayir layechad, each side picks one dayan, and then the two sides pick a third dayan. So therefore, it's important for our Mishnah to teach us that that's in a case of din Torah where the two sides pick two dayanim, and then the third dayan is picked, as we'll see, by the two parties. However, in a case of a Bishara, in a case where the two parties have agreed to a compromise, there all three Dayonim have to be agreed upon by both sides. And that's why our Mishnah says, Dinei Mamonos, a regular Torah requires three Dayonim. Another type of situation, a Bishara will require all three Dayonim. However, there's another Pshat why our Mishnah begins with the word Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. As I said, the next words of our Mishnah, which is actually the Perek, is called on these words Zebayir, because our Perek can't be called Dinei Mamonos, because the first Perek of the Masechta is already called Dinei Mamonos. So to distinguish between our Perek and the first Perek, this Perek is called Zebayir. And as I said, we're going to learn the process, the procedure of choosing a bezdin by each litigant choosing one dayan, and then the two parties choosing a third dayan. And the question is, which this type of a bezdin is known as zabla. And the fundamental question is, when can a zabla be chosen? The Ramah paskens that the option of a zabla is only in a situation where there is no bezdin kavua, where there is no established bezdin in the town. But if the town, the city, has an established bezdin, then a zabla is not an option. And that's why, according to Ramah, we could understand the first words of the Mishnah. Zeh b'ir dinei mamnas b'shloisha. In a situation where there's a Bezdin Kavua, then we have to go to the Bezdin Kavua. In fact, there are Paiskim that say that even if there isn't a Bezdin Kavua in this town, but there's a Bezdin Kavua in a neighboring town, that too is a situation where we have to go to the Bezdin Kavua and not go to the situation of Zabla. Zabla is only an option where there is no Bezdin Kavua, or obviously if both parties are agreeable to a Zabla. However, there are other Rishonim that disagree with the approach of the Ramah, and they say that the only time we have to go to Bezdin is if one party refuses to go to Din Torah. That's when the Bezdin can force the other party to come. But in a situation where the two parties are agreeable to go to Din Torah, even if there is a Bezdin Kavua in the town, the halach is we could go to Zabla and we don't have to go to the Bezdin Kavua in town. Another interesting question is there such a thing as a Bezdin Kavua nowadays? The Ramosha says there is no such a thing as a Bezdin Kavua nowadays. He said, because even if there is in a city a Bezdin that a kehillah, a community, a shul has, it isn't the Bezdin Kavua of the town. And therefore, there is no concept of a Bezdin Kavua Bezman Hazeh. Rav Ozner, the Shevet HaLevi, disagrees. He says, of course, Rav Moshe is correct that we don't have a system in place that a community has established Batei Dinim. He says, but the town has established Batei Dinim. He says, but if you're part of a kehillah, and the kehillah has a Bezdin, being part of the kehillah is not only regarding all the other benefits involved in being part of the kehillah, but being part of the kehillah also is included in having to go to the Bezdin of that kehillah. Therefore, according to Rav Ozner, if you're a member of according to the Ramah, if you're a member of a kehillah that has a Bezdin, you have to take a Din Torah to that Bezdin. So again, begins the parak, Dinei Mamnas B'Shloisha. A Din Torah requires three Dayanim. And now we start discussing Zebar Layechad, Zebar Layechad. Each party could choose one Dayan, B'Shnayim Bar Layechad, and then these two litigants choose the third Dayan. Divrei Rameya. That is the opinion of Rameya. The Chachamim, however, the Chachamim disagree, and they say Shnei Dayanim Barim Layechad. It's not that the two litigants pick the third Dayan, it's the Yoram pick the third Dayan. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Zeh Paisel Dayana Shazeh, the Zeh Paisel Dayana Shazeh, Divrei Rameya. According to Rameya, each party could disqualify the other Dayan. The Chachamim, however, the opinion of the Chachamim, Bizman Shemevi Aleim Rayim, Shein Krivim Apsulim, only if we could bring a raya that they're disqualified because they're relatives or apostle, avam ha'iksherim or mumchav epibezdin. But if the people were chosen as dayonim are ksherim or experts, any yachal apostle, they cannot be disqualified. It's interesting to point out, as the Mefarshim point out, that when Rameyer speaks, when the Mishnah quotes the opinion of Rameyer, it says Zeh Paisel Dayana Shel Zeh V'Zeh Paisel Dayana Shel Zeh B'Loshin Yochid, in the singular. Whereas the Chachamim speak B'Zman Shmevi Lai Raim Shein Krivim Apsulim. How do we understand the inconsistency of the language? So Mefarshim explain that even though we just learned the opinion of the Chachamim is that one cannot just disqualify the other side's Dayan because he wants to disqualify him, he has to bring raya that he's a kar of apostle, but not only bringing rayas, bringing proof that each one of these dayanim is either a kar of or apostle disqualifies them, but also if these two dayanim that have been chosen are related to each other, they also will become disqualified to be a din, bezdin. Krivin, that the two dayanim are krivim to each other. Continues the Mishnah. Zeh paisel eidu shalzeh, vezeh paisel eidu shalzeh. Diver Remeya, coin to Remeya. Each party can disqualify the other one's witnesses. However, the Chacham say, Amosai, when could they do so? Only if they could bring rayas that the krivim ksuim. Avam hayik sherim, if they're kosher, the other side cannot just go any yachal afaslam to the scribe, follow them. Begins the Gemara. Ask them, my zebar layechad, my zebar layechad. How do we understand the words of the Mishnah that each party picks a bezdin? The Gemara is assuming, at least this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that each party chooses an entire bezdin. And therefore the Gemara's question is, learning the Gemara Pashupshat, is Zebar the Mishnah Pashupshat, Zebar Layachad, one side picks three Dayanim, the Zebar Layachad, and the other side chooses a bezdin, three Dayanim, and then these two Batedinim, or these two litigants, choose a third group of three, which will be a total of nine. And therefore, Gemara's question is very obvious. If they're choosing a total of nine, why are they choosing a total of nine? Betlasasagi, the parrot began the dinim mammas bishloisha, that three dayanim are enough, why do we need to have nine people? That's how Rashi explains the Gemara's question. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, because Tosfos says there was never a havamina that we should need nine dayanim. The Mishnah was very clear that three dayanim are enough. Rather, way Tosfos explains what that the way we understand the Mishnah is that this part, one litigant chooses one bezdin, and the other litigant chooses another bezdin, and since each one disqualified the other bezdin, they choose these two parties, these two batedinim who have been disqualified, choose a third bezdin. And the Gemara's question is obvious. Why do these disqualified parties have the right or are in the place to choose the third bezdin once they have been disqualified? Says the Gemara, Hachkama. Again, we're going to learn the Gemara's question like Rashi, that according to Rashi, each side picks a bezdin, and now they each, meaning each choosing three people, and then they choose another three, which would be a total of nine. And the Gemara's question is, we don't need nine, three is enough. Says the Gemara, Hachkama. Kishzeh barle bezdin echad. Vezeh barle bezdin echad. If each party chooses a bezdin that each other one is dissatisfied with, then shneim barim lay erechad. So then, since we weren't satisfied with the two first parties, we choose a third bezdin. Ask the Gemara, according to the way we're understanding the Mishnah at this point, that each party chose a full-fledged bezdin, and the halacha is that each party could say, I'm not satisfied with the bezdin you chose. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That fila loiva matzim akiv, in a case of a malvin a loiva, is the halacha that even the loiva has a right to reject the bezdin the malva chose? From Rebbe Elazar, we're going to learn later in our perek that Rebbe Elazar taught us loishan al malva. The malva has a right to reject the bezdin that the loiva chose. Ava loiva. But the loiva has no right to reject the bezdin that the malva chose. Rather, kaifenoi soy v'dam bi'iroi. The loiva has to go to the bezdin that the malva chose. And Rishonim gives two reasons. One is because eved loiva, as we learned, the pasuk says eved loivel ish malva. The loiva is subject to the will of the malva, and therefore he has to go to the bezdin that the malva wants. Another pshat is that the Malva has already spent money in this situation. And since the Malva has already spent money, we can't force, the Leiva cannot force him to spend more money to go to another Bezdin. Machlekes Rishonim, if this halacha, that the Leiva cannot force the Malva to go to the Bezdin that he so desires, is it only by a Leiva or Malva, or is it in every situation of a Teveya V'nitva? The opinion of the Rosh is that it's not only by loiva and amalva, but even in a situation of any toivei v'nitva. If somebody calls someone else a dentira, the Rosh, and so is the halacha, says, holchin achar hanitva. We follow where the nitva wants to go. The Ran disagrees, and the Ran says that it's only in a situation of loiva or malva, given the reasons that we just explained, but by other dinei Torah, we don't have, each party has a right to disqualify the other party's choice of a Bezdin. So, again, if we're learning, as the Gemara, that our Mishnah says that each party chose a Bezdin, and each party has a right to say that I'm not satisfied with the Bezdin that my opponent chose, how does the loiva have that right? Answers the Gemara. Our Mishnah is referring to not a regular Bezdin. Absolutely. A Bezdin, under normal circumstances, a loiva cannot disqualify a Bezdin that the Malva chose. Here we're referring to the Akos Shebesuria. Hochnami ba'akor shebesuria shana. Our Mishnah is referring to the akor shebesuria. There's a machloikis. What does akor shebesuria mean? The Ran says that the akor shebesuria are people who are totally not knowledgeable in Dinei Torah. That's the Ramban says that they are somewhat familiar with Dinei Torah, but they're not mumchim. Others say that they fall into the category that we discussed earlier in the Masechta of Yoshvei Kronius. Since such a Bezdin is not really considered a full-fledged Bezdin, even though normally a Loiva does not have a right to disqualify the Malva's choice, here the Loiva will have such a right. Av mumchim, indeed, if the Malva chose a Bezdin of Mumchim, the halacha would be that Loiva cannot reject that choice. Rapapa says, and the Machloik is how to understand if Rapapa is giving a different answer or Rapapa is just building on the answer that was given before. Rapapa mafil tema Mumchim. Our Mishnah is where he just chose Mumchim. Still, there are situations where even if the Malva chose Mumchim, the Loiva could reject the choice. Kigoyin Beidina, the Rav Kahuna, the Rav Chizda. If there's a Bezdin, like the Bezdin of Rav Huna, Rav Chizda in that town, there the Loiva has a right to say, I don't want to go to the Bezdin that you, the Malva, chose. I want to go to the Bezdin of Rav Huna, the Rav Chizda. The Kamalei, because the Loiva has a very strong claim. He says, certainly the Batei Dinim of Rav Huna and Rav Chizda are greater Batei Dinim, and they're in the town, so therefore, Mikom Atrachnalach, I'm not causing you any tircha by going to that Bezdin, and therefore, I want to go to that Bezdin, and the Loiva has the right to make such a demand. The Taisus asks, how was it possible for Rav Huna and Rav Chizda to both have a Bezdin together in the same town? Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda was the Talmud of Rav Huna. And we learned earlier in our Masechta that a Talmud is not allowed to pass in a Shaila in front of his Rebbe. So how could Rav Chizda have a Bezdin in the town of Rav Huna? So Taisus answers that what the Gemara means that they were in the same town doesn't mean that they were actually in the same town. What it means was that they were three parashas apart. So therefore, since they're distanced by three parashas, they can have a Bezdin in the same town. They could have two separate batei dinim because it's a proper distance. another pshat that I saw, it doesn't mean actually Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. It means the Talmidim of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. And the Talmidim of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda can have separate, but can have separate batei dinim. Another pshat is that when may a Talmud not pass in a shaila for in front of his Rebbe? Only in a situation where it's a shaila of issa v'heter. But here, that we're discussing dinei mominis, when it comes to dinei mominis, a Talmud, Rav Chisda, could have a bezdin even in the place of his Rebbe, Rav Huna. Furthermore, our Gemara says that the reason a loiva cannot force a malva to go to a bezdin out of town, because it's a tircha, as we learned to the malva, and eved loiva lish malva, not the other way around. The question that the Kseis discusses is, what would be an halacha if the malva is traveling anyway to the place where the bezdin that the loiva wants to have the Torah? What would be the halacha then? That could, under those circumstances, could the loiva force the malva to go to the bezdin in that town? Machloikis ha-paiskim. Some paiskim want to say there's a nafkamina between a situation of a loiva and a malva, where there the malva has more power over the loiva, versus a situation of a tevei v'nitva that we quoted earlier, a machloikis rishonim, that the rishonim suggest that in general we're not sure if a teveya, what power does the teveya have over the nitva and vice versa. Says the Gemara. So at this point, we're still learning that pshat in our Mishnah is that the loiva, that this, each party chose a bezdin, and each party disqualified the other party's choice, so now they choose a new bezdin. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, V'cham oim mishnei dayonim, barel amayr echad. The two dayonim choose a third person. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to learn Peshan and the Mishnah as we're learning till now, that each party chose a Bezdin, and now these two parties disqualified the other party's Bezdin, so now the question is that the two parties disqualified each other's choice. Bezdin Basa the Baslihu, after the Bezdin has been disqualified, Azrul Barlu Beidin Achrina, can they now, are they going to be the ones to choose the third Bezdin? Void. Furthermore, if that's Pshat in the Mishnah, that each party chooses a Bezdin, how do we understand the wording in the Mishnah? Zebar Layachod, Vzebar Layachod, that each one chooses one. It seems to be that our Mishnah is teaching that each one chooses one. Why does each one choosing one seems to mean that I'm automatically dissatisfied with my opponent's choice? But why am I automatically dissatisfied with my opponent's choice? Maybe my opponent made a good choice. The wording Zebar Layechud, the way we're learning now, means that each one of us disqualifies our opponent's choice. Says the Gemara, Alohach Kama. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. One litigant chooses one dayin, and the other litigant chooses another dayin. Now the two litigants choose the third dayin. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah Davi Hachi, why is this the system that's followed? Why is this the system that's followed? Says the Gemara, Omar. Machlokes Rishonim, who the Gemara's question is to. What, some say that the Gemara's question is to Rameya, that why, if each litigant chose one dayan, why should they still be the people that should choose the third dayan? If they already got a chance to speak, but they're choosing one dayan, shouldn't that be enough? That's the way most Rishonim explain. Some say that the Gemara's question is, even on the Rabbanon, why do we have to go through this entire process? Amri b'marav mishmei d'rav zeira b'tarch shezeh bar loydayin echad v'zeh bar loydayin echad. Since each one of them chose one dayin, Shnei Baron Lamechad, and then the third din is chosen, Yoetzad Din Lamitai. And the way Rashi seems to explain is that the Gemara is saying that because each one of us has a Boyer on the Besdin that he chose, so therefore he's going to feel more comfortable that his opinion has been properly represented, because it's a Boyer that he chose. Others explain that if I had the opportunity to choose a Boyer that's on the Besdin, I'm going to feel comfortable in fulfilling the Pesach of Besdin without any complaints. But this Rashi, as the Rosh and other Paiskim can point out, is the basis for some misunderstanding. Because Rashi says, because I chose a Boyer who's my representative on the Besdin, I'm going to feel comfortable with the Pesach that Boyer gives. Says the Rosh, one should not chas v'shal misunderstand in Rashi that Rashi means to say that the person I chose as a Boyer is my lawyer. He's not my lawyer. He's my Boyer. He's a member of the Besdin, and he has to act like a Dayan. He's my choice, but he certainly has all the halachas of a Dayan. And in fact, the Pana Meira says that just like there's a well-known halacha, that one is not allowed to speak to a Dayan prior to the Din Torah, even if this individual is my Boyer, but since he's a Dayan, I'm not allowed to talk to him about my claims prior to the Din Torah. Darach HaShulchan says that the reason it's done is because since both parties agree, so if both parties agree, I agree that you could speak to your buyer, and you agree that I could speak to my buyer, that's why we're allowed to do so. But again, even according, Darach HaShulchan is not disagreeing with the Panim Iris. Darach HaShulchan is only saying that if both parties are agreeable, that's fine. But certainly both parties aren't agreeable to that, one may not do so. In fact, the question comes up, can one ask somebody who's a close friend of his to be a buyer? It could be very well understood that one may not do so. Because if we're learning now, as the Rosh and the Panim Iris say so very clearly, that the Boyer is a full-fledged Dayan, I can't choose a friend to be a Dayan. The Chacham say that it's the two Dayanim that choose the third Dayan. So we have Machlok Chacham Rameh, who chooses the third Dayan? Do the two litigants choose the third Dayan, or do the two Dayanim choose the third Dayan? Suggest the Gemara, namely, the Rabbi Yehuda Merav Kamifkli. The machlok between Chacham Rameh is around what Rabbi Yehuda Merav said. Don Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Ein Edom Chosim al Shtar. Edom would not sign on a Shtar. Elam Kein Yoidim Michosim on, unless they know who signs along with them. And therefore, the Dayanim are not agreeable to be part of a Din Torah, unless they know who's going to be a Dayan along with them. And the Gemara is suggesting that Ramei less than Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Ramei doesn't agree with what Rabbi Yehuda Merav said, and therefore, according to Ramei, it's up to the litigants to choose the third Dayan, but not up to the Dayanim. Rabbanon, on the other hand, Rabbanon isluhu Rabbi Yehuda Merav. The Rabbanon do agree with the opinion of Yehuda Merav, and therefore the Dayanim have a right to choose who should be the third Dayanim. Says the Gemara Loi. That's not the way to understand. The Kulama, everybody could understand, is like the Yehuda Merav. And therefore, Vedas Dayonim Kulama Le Plig Dabinin. Everybody will agree Dayonim have a right to say who will they sit with. Ki Pligi, what is the Machloikis here about? If Das Baladinim, do we also need the opinion of the two litigants? Ramei is of the opinion Das Baladinim Nami Binin. Whereas Rabbanan Savri, Das Hadayonim Be'inim, Das Baladinim Loi Be'inim. Ask the Rishonim, if the halacha is that the Dayonim need to know who they're sitting with, otherwise they may not be satisfied, so why don't we say the same regarding the first two Dayonim, that they have to agree who they're going to sit with. So in fact, the Ran says that that is a din. That the din is that both parties have, the two original Dayanim also have a right to choose the others. The Marshal says that the reason the Gemara doesn't focus on that is because until the two first Dayanim are chosen, we have no Beis Din at all. So certainly, we're not speaking about such a situation. Once, however, the two Dayanim have been chosen, and they are agreeable to each other, so now we would think that if the two opponents choose a third Dayan, they should automatically have to accept their choice. Teaches us the Gemara that everybody is in agreement, that the Dayanim have to be comfortable with whom they sit, and if they're not comfortable with whom they sit, they can reject that third party. Gufa, in fact, says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Merav, Eina Eden Chosim El Shtar, and Tanya Nami Hochi, Kacho Yeniki Adash Rishlaim Oisim, Loya Chosim El Shtar, they would never sign a document, Elm Ken Yoidim Yichosimim, Loya Yoshim Medin, Elm Ken Yoidim Yoshimim, they would only sit in the Torah if they knew who was the other side, Loya Nechnosim Besuda, Elm Ken Yoidim Yichosimim, they would never go into a meal unless they know who were the other guests. The Rishonim say, the Gemara is saying it's the Nekiyei Hadas that didn't sit unless they knew who the other guests were at the meal. So the Rishonim say that's only in a situation where we don't know who these other guests are. But in a situation that we know that the other guests are Rishon, there is no question who they are, no one should sit at such a meal. And in fact, there's an interesting remark. We know that the halacha is that one should not invite someone to a bris. Because if someone is invited to a bris, the halacha is that he has to go. Says the Rama that nowadays, even if you're invited to a bris, you don't necessarily have to go. Because it's possible, or it's very possible, that the other people at the bris will be people not of your caliber. And Al Gemara says you can't be forced to sit at a din Torah with people who are not of your caliber. And therefore, even if you were invited to a bris, you do not have to go. The Pesachei Tshuva is not so satisfied with the remark. The Pesachei Tshuva seems to say that it's still better just to avoid inviting people to a bris, to avoid having this type of a question. The Divrei Chaim says, when the Gemara says that you shouldn't sit at a meal with people who you don't know, says the Divrei Chaim, it doesn't mean you shouldn't sit at a meal with Rishon. The Divrei Chaim says it's only if you don't know who the people are. And then there's a real concern, you may think they're good people when they're really not, and you may come to unfortunately learn things from them that you don't want to learn. However, in a situation where you know who the people are, and you know the people are people that you have to watch out from, then it's not a problem. And he says, and that's pshat in the Gemara. Elm ken yoidim yimeisvimam. It's only because they didn't know who these people are. Were they to know who these people are, even if they're not people of their caliber, it would not necessarily be a problem. Furthermore, the Mishnah Brura and the Bi'ah Halacha explains that it's only if the people are sitting at your table. But if it's not at your table, even if at the meal that you're attending there are people not of your caliber, it is no problem. Furthermore, says the Bi'ah Halacha, if it's a suda for tzarech mitzvah, a dinner, for example, for a tzedakah, there, even if it's there are people who are not of your caliber, you certainly should attend. Because as Rav Moshe Sternberg explains in the Tshuvas Hanhagos, the only concern is that the people at that, you have nobody to speak to in learning. But if you have other people at the meal who you could speak to in Divrei Torah, even if there are people there who are not your type, it's not a problem. Continues the Gemara. Ze paisel dayonoi. Each litigant could disqualify koin tremeya, the choice of the opposing side. Rambamim say only if you have good reason. Ask the Gemara. Kol kminei the paisel dayonoi. Could each side just oppose and reject the other person's choice? Rabbi Yochanan, so says Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah is referring by Kosh of Asarah Shonin. We're talking in a case where it's the courts of Surya. So since and we're talking about people who are really not that knowledgeable. So therefore, I have a right to disqualify him. But indeed, if it was a Beis Din of Mumchim, their halacha is I don't have the right to disqualify him. Ava Mumchim Loi. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed Ramey's opinion? Hamid Iktani Sefer. The Chamas say that when can one reject the other side's judge? That's the opinion of the Rabbana. Mechlal, it's obvious the Ramey and Mumchim Namikama. The Ramey says it's then even in the case of Mumchim that you have a right to disqualify your opponent's choice. Says the Mahakama. This is the way to understand what the Rabbanan say. Avam Hayuk Sheirim, if they are eligible, Nasa Kamumchim Pi Bezdin, then they're considered like Mumchim Pi Bezdin, Veni Yechayim Apostlam. And that's the opinion of Rabbanan, that as long as they're Sheirim, they cannot be disqualified. Where according to a mayor, since they're not mumchim, they can be disqualified. But in full-fledged mumchim, even Ramey will agree they cannot be disqualified. Says the Gemara, Toshima. Dan Gemara is going to see if Rabbi Yochanan's explanation is correct. Amr loy l'Rameya, the Chum said to Rameya, loy kolamina, shepoysel dayin shmumchal rabim. You're wrong. A person doesn't have the right to reject somebody who's been appointed, who's a publicly acknowledged expert. So we see, it seems, that Ramey is stating his opinion even when the dayan is a mumcha. Says the Gemara, Ema, the way to understand what Ramey is saying is, Loi kamana, shepoysel dayan shemchul rabim aleyim. A person doesn't have a right to reject a person who's been appointed as a judge by the community. But it's not that the person who's been appointed as a judge by the community is really necessarily a great mumcha. He's just been appointed by the community. And Nata Gemara indeed brings a raya to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Tayaname Hochi, Loyal and Pais Vahailach. A person, according to Ramey, you have a right to reject your opponent's choice. Achi Kababav Mumchil Rabim. Until they choose a Beis Din that's a Mumchil Rabim, Divrei Rameya. So we see that even Rameya agrees that if my opponent chose a Mumcha, I no longer have a right to reject him. Ask the Gemara, Eidim by definition are like Mumchim. And yet, Vam Rameya in our Mishnah, Zeh Paisel Eidim Shal Zeh, Zeh Paisel Eidim Shal Zeh. Why? If Rameya is agreeing that you can't reject the Mumcha, Chet Mela, so we learned, Amrei Shlokish. Rish Lakish, when he heard Ramey said this, said, Pek Hodosh Yoyme Davazeh, could a person as great as Ramey with a holy mouth say such a word? Tani Eda. Rather, Ramey means that if he chose even one aid, the other person could disqualify. Why? Because since he's only an aid Echad, and therefore, he's not an expert, because we know an Eid Echad doesn't have the power. That's why he could be disqualified. But indeed, if it would be two Eidim, Ramey would agree that it can't be disqualified. So we again are proving that Ramey will agree that in the case of a Mumcha, they cannot be disqualified. It's interesting, I saw a beautiful verse from the Chafetz Chaim. Here we see that Rish Lakish called Ramey Peh Kodosh. The Gemara is going to discuss this more in Mitzvah Shem in the next staff. Said the Chafetz Chaim, if you want to know who to go to for a bracha, Gemara is teaching us that who is considered a person that has a Peh Kodosh, that has a holy mouth, and that is the mouth that should be asked for a bracha? Somebody like Ramey, somebody who sits and learns Torah. Ask the Gemara, we need to understand what Rish Lakish said to Ramey. Eid Lamai. What is we talking about that he's one aid? Ilema Lamoman. If I'm bringing one aid and it's a din Torah about a monetary case, Rechmana Pasli. The Torah says the one aid is not powerful. You need two aidim. A pishne aidim yakum dover. Ilishmua. And if it's talking about that we want to make my opponent swear, so an Eid Echad does have power, because he mui menik betray. The Torah gave an Eid Echad that much power that he can make the other side swear. And the Rishonim point out, what does the Gemara say, he mui menik betray? To teach us that if an Eid Echad came to support my case, and then that you bring another Eid Echad to counter him, that will not be good enough. And once there's a chiyuv shvuah based on the testimony of the first aid, that has to be followed. Says the Gemara, Lo'olam l'mamon. Amish is referring to a situation of a din Torah of mamon. If it's a din Torah of mamon, what is the power of one aid? Le'tzricha the kibbalei kibbeit rei. Amish is referring to a situation that they agree to accept this person, even though he's on an echad, that he should be believed like two witnesses. The Ramei is teaching us that even though he agreed to that, he could back out. Said the Gemara, my Kamashlan, what are we learning? That according to Meir, Matzah Hadabay, that even though I agreed to accept the testimony of one aid, I could back out. Tanina, but we're going to learn that in a Mishnah. Amalei Nemanalei Abba, Nemanalei Avicha. If somebody said, my father is acceptable to be a judge, your father, Nemanalei Gremla Roy Bakr, or the three cattle herders could be judged. Remei, I meant Yechalachsaba. So we already learned that halacha, that even if you accept somebody, you could back out. That we agreed that even that we're going to accept this person to be like he himself. And as Tosfos explains, what does the Gemara have to bring Rav Dimi? The point is that even though there are two problems, first of all, he's only by himself. And second of all, he is apostle. I would think that there, Rameya teaches us that he could that he only there could back out. The teaches us that Rameya says that he could always back out. So why do we need, if that's pshat in our Mishnah, that we accepted one aid as a good aid, but now Rameya says he could back out, isn't that what the next Mishnah already taught us? So why does the Mishnah have to repeat? Answers the Gemara Tzricha. We have to teach this din in our Mishnah and in the next Mishnah. Ditana Abba Avicha, if we only learned the case about Abba Avicha, that's Bahakam Rabbanan Doi Matzah Hadibay. That's what Rabbanan said, that once they were accepted, you can't back out. Shunda Abba Vavich Chazul Alma. There are people that are normally kosher judges. It's only in this case where there's a problem. Ava Chad Kibetrei. In the case where one aid is to be accepted as two witnesses, Dal Alma Loi Chazi. That never is an acceptable situation. Maybe the Rabbanan will agree to Rameya that the party could retract from that acceptance. V'yashmin b'ha, I was saying b'ha kam Rameya. Here Rameya says that he could retract his acceptance. Aba b'hi, in that case, maybe moidulu Rabbanan, that he can't back out. Tzricha, that's why we have to have both Mishnais. Ask the Gemara, how can we understand that that's the case of our Mishnah? Hamidik Tani Reisha Dainon. The first case of the Mishnah was where I disqualified your judge. One opponent disqualified the other opponent's judge. The Sefer spoke about Adov in the plural. Alma, that the Sefer Dafkik Tani, Adov, that it's Rabim, not that it's a case of it's one aid that's going to be considered like two. And therefore, it's difficult to say that we should change that the Mishnah means one aid and is referring to a situation that one aid is going to be accepted like two. Amar Rav Elazar. So Rav Elazar has a different way of understanding our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the one of the parties comes with somebody else to invalidate the other parties that you aid them. Ask the Gemara, Kol Kamine, does a person have the ability to do so? Negei beidusahu. I'm a negei beidus. I'm partial. I have every reason to want to disqualify the other party. And as we know, a negei beidus is possible. Why a negei beidus is possible is a machloikus. The sma and the shach say because we have to be concerned that he's a karev. Adam Karve Tzalatzmai. Others say the concern is that a negei be'edus may lie. And says the Gemara, Amar Avakha B'reder Avakha, Kigon Shekarlov Irur. It's referring to a situation that one of the parties said something that is a disqualifying flaw about the eid. Ask them, what type of situation is this? Irudamai. Ilema irudagazlanusa, that I said, that I say together with somebody else that one of the eidim is a gazlan, kol kamine. Am I going to be relieved to say so? Negei beidusahu. Clearly, I'm a negei beidus to saying this. Eilu. Ella irudagam mishpacha. I say there's something wrong with his yichus. Remei sova. Hani am mishpacha kamasadi. I'm saying about the family. I'm just saying that there's a problem with that family. I'm not speaking about that aid. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan hold, on the other hand, that Saif Saif, at the end of the day, Negei Be'edusuha, I'm considered a Negei Be'edus. He also, Rav Dima Amar Rav Yochanan, Nara Gemara gives another explanation of our Mishnah. Machlok v'shnei kitei eidim. The machlokus is where one aside, one litigant claims that he has two sets of eidim to back his claim up. The Ramei's opinion is, if you say you have two pairs of eidim, you're going to have to bring both pairs of eidim. Rabbanan, on the other hand, hold, ain't tzarch levaru. You don't have to substantiate your claim. Avil, and therefore, according to Ramei, this is the way Rashi learns, since according to Ramei, you're going to have to bring both sets, so if I disqualify the first set, I'm not a negei beidus, because you're going to have to bring the second set. Avol bekas achas. If my other side only said that he has one pair, certainly I cannot disqualify him. And yochel apostlem. Lefaner Rabbi Amir Vasi. Ain sham elakas achas mahu. Ain sham elakas achas. What's the Gemara's question? Says the Gemara. Avol bekas achas tivrekol and yochel apostlem. So what's the question? Asked the Gemara. Ella. The question is, Nimtzes Kashni Kroiv Nepsulim. Again, let's figure, the Gemara is speaking about such a case. My opposing party says he has two pairs of Edom. And since he says he has two pairs of Edom, I have a right to passel to disqualify the first pair. What happens if the second pair turns out to get disqualified? What will be the halacha mahu? Will retroactively, what will be the halacha? Amlehem, kveedu edim rishonim. The first pair already said edis. When I disqualified them, I effectively disqualified them, and they remain disqualified. Ikadamri, amravashi kveedu edim rishonim. The rishonim explain that there is no nafkamina between the ikadamri. It's only nafkamina if Rabbi Yochanan said it or if Ashi said it. There is another pshat in Rashi, just the opposite. That even though I originally disqualified them, that's when I was in the Negei Be'edus. Now that I'm a Negei Be'edus, I have no right to disqualify them. Says the Gemara, name it perhaps, the pluck the Rebbe of Shimon Gamaliel Kamifki. The machloikis between Rebbe Ramei is the same machloikis of Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamaliel, the Tanya, as we learned in Masechta Baba Basra. We know that the halacha is that to prove that I am the owner of a property, I need a shtar. But if I don't have a shtar, because it's after 3 years, I can rely on a chazaka. Habal lidan b'shtar u'b'chazaka. If I have a claim that I have a shtar and a chazaka, lidan b'shtar divi rebi. Shimon Gamaliel lidan b'chazaka. V'avinim b'chazaka v'loy b'shtar. Certainly a shtar is stronger than a chazaka, because a chazaka only is there because we're afraid that you lost the shtar. Aleima af b'chazaka. That even though you said you have a shtar and a chazaka, and you could win based on the chazaka alone. And the Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra explained the Betzarach Levar Kamifki. Rebbe holds that if he says you have a shtar and a chazaka, you're going to have to bring the shtar. And if you don't bring the shtar, then you can't win that in Torah. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, hold that even if you said you have a shtar, if you don't bring the shtar, it's going to be good enough. So isn't that the same here? Rebbe Remeya holds that if you say you have two pairs of witnesses, you have to bring both pairs. Rabbanan disagree. Says the Merloi. I read with Rav Shimon Gamaliel Kolam Leplegi. According to Rav Shimon Gamaliel, even Rameya will agree that in the case of our Mishnah, you don't have to bring a second pair of Eitus. Keep Plegi and leave with the Rebbe. Rameya certainly agrees with Rebbe. Rabbanan Amrilach, at Kan Leikom Rebbe El B'Chazaka. Where did Rebbe say that if you say you have a shtar and a chazaka, you have to bring the shtar? by shtar v'chazaka, because as we explained, the chazaka really isn't an independent raya. The chazaka is only there because you have an excuse why you don't have a shtar anymore. Mekayach shtar kasi. Aval hocha, the hani edim, la mekayach edim achrin kasi. Each pair of witnesses is a separate pair. I feel a Rebbe Maida that ain't tzarich levarer, and just because you said you have two pairs of edim doesn't mean you have to bring both pairs, and therefore even the Rabbanon perhaps could agree with the psak of Rebbe.